It's now time for Race Chat Live with Chris Creighton and Craig Moore.
All right, race fans. How y'all here tonight?
Let's see where we put that one on.
All right, race fans, welcome to Race Chat Live.
All right. We took care of the echo. Somehow that got pushed in the wrong direction. Glad to have you. Monday night, about said Thursday night. Let's go ahead and get all the gas out of the way. That way we can have us a great show, Chris. But we're going to roll right along, man. It is Monday night. What a hell of a race we had yesterday. It was a doubleheader, and by gosh, it was one of the best this year for sure. Surprised by the turnout. We got plenty of time to get into that. Of course, we got a guest here tonight as well, Terrell Racing, or Tyrell Racing. They'll be on. At the 30-minute, at the half-hour mark, coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Of course, we got Taz Taylor, and we've got Craig Moore here as well. Glad to have those guys on board. How are y'all doing this evening, Taz and Craig?
I'm getting excited.
It doesn't take much.
Right. It doesn't take much.
Don't be judging.
Hey, I cannot wait to see the list of names. Taz has got a special flavor for us here tonight. He's going to give us the special names that he has concocted for these for the drivers. And I guarantee you, a few of them are guaranteed to give you the giggles. So looking forward to talking about that, of course. Right. No pun intended. I kind of gave it away there. My bad, Taz. I see that we have a Craig Moore loves this word, a titterary to follow by, but I guess I'll let one of you guys start things off, Craig or Taz. Who wants to open up the discussion here tonight about what we've seen at Martinsville?
Well, it was pretty much a parking lot party. What was that? Caution 16. Two cars spun and created a parking lot and nowhere to go. And the our favorite man from across the border got a little upset at Chase Elliott, not for that incident, but for one that happened earlier in the race. And I wish we had his clip from his interview. But I can't even do a south of the border impression, so I won't even try. But he pretty much said, pay back the bitch, and I'm going to race you the way you race me. So I guess him and I believe it was William Byron had
that
a couple
right,
of
Free
issues.
Willie.
What's that?
Willie B.
Free Willie. Get it right.
Willie B.
Free Willie. I guess him and Free Willie had a couple of altercations this season already. And apparently because Daniel Suarez raced good on the dirt, he's got a bigger set than most women I know. And he thinks that he can jump in the face of the big boys. And, well, he
Mr. Suarez.
He did. Mr. Suarez, yes. Apparently he thinks he's got a big set now so he can – he can get mad at the guys that consistently run up front. But,
with you saying that, hold up, what brought you to that conclusion? Because I did not think of that with Daniel Suarez until I watched the Trackhouse show that come on immediately after the race, or it was after one race or whatever, and I watched it, and Suarez was very persistent about his setup being put in his car, and I thought to myself, this may be, you know, Travis Mack is, I believe Travis Mack is on the horizon of being one of the next best crew chiefs. And a lot of success at Trackhouse can be pointed to the direction of Travis Mack, of course, the crew chief for Daniel Suarez. And Daniel was quite evident on saying, I want my setup in that car. Well, buddy, I don't know if you watched yourself race for the last 4 years, but your freaking setups weren't very good. So give Travis Mack a little bit of a break there. Maybe he does have big kahunas, and maybe that's why he fell into the position that he's fallen into. Hey, without further ado, he has gained respect from a fan, especially here that he's had so far this year, Craig. But he may be on to something. He may have a I cannot think of the name of it now, but maybe one of you smarter guys can come up with a name that we're actually looking for Daniel Suarez right now. He is knocking on the door of some of the big enterprise teams, and I'm not talking about trying to get employment. I'm talking about knocking on the door trying to get him out of the way. So, yeah, Craig.
Yeah, I just think that maybe he's been sipping a little bit of Fireball that Pitbull's been dishing out. Fireball. Well, I can't sing nor can I dance.
That's why you're the DJ.
That's right. Fireball. Listen, I was real quick. I was doing a party yesterday for a 40th anniversary over at Pine Park here in Broad Albany. You know where it's at, Taz. And these old ladies, I say old, they were probably in their 70s, early 80s, so elderly. They were trying to get me out on the dance floor. I faked it for a little while, but these girls had the moves like Mick Jagger, boy, let me tell you. But
they old school. We call that old school down here. There,
yeah,
boss.
Buddy.
Call
I
that
was
old
like,
school.
Oh, damn. Listen, they had more moves on them than Mike Joy had mistakes, apparently. During his call of the race.
Did you play Brick House?
As I said yesterday in the race thread, or in our 110 thread, I was listening to it on the way home. And I was listening to it on Sirius. So I was enjoying listening to you guys during it because I'm like, man, I don't know if I like the radio broadcast now or if I want to be more entertained by watching FS1. But
I just want to reiterate one more time. It was 500 laps, not 500 miles, no matter how many times Mike Joy or the promo said 500 miles. It was not 500 miles. It was like 263 miles, 500 laps. I don't – how many times I heard that, it drove me nuts every time I heard it.
So you're saying 500 miles.
What was the thing with him and Cody Ware? I mean, granted, Cody Ware, there were six cautions between the first two stages, you said, Jason, CJ, but he brought out three of them, and Mike Joy had inadvertently made the call that it was Cody Ware who called one of them when it wasn't.
No, it was Cody Ware. It was just the way he said it was like, it was kind of like no big surprise kind of comment, like it's Cody Ware again. And then made the comment that like that was the sixth caution. He had brought out half of them, and the other two of the other ones were Chase. What word am I looking for? The Chase cautions or whatever for the Sage cautions. So like almost all the cautions were because of him. Single car wrecks in the corner by himself. Up to that point, I think the first two stages had like a total of six cautions, and then all the rest of them happened in the third stage. But the first two stages, like almost every wreck was single car wrecks, and they were Cody Ware in the corner by himself.
James Davison will argue the point that he wasn't out there by himself, Mr. CJ.
The one,
but it was just funny how Mike Joy said it, though. It was just like. And it was Cody Ware again. Like, it was just the way he said it was just like, oh, wow. Like, he just threw Cody Ware underneath the bus. And then later I saw the comments that some people were irked about Cody Ware and those single car wrecks. But, yeah, it was just the way he said it was just humorous to me. And it kind of made up for the 500 miles, even though it was 500 laps over and over throughout the race.
The one yellow I thought that shouldn't have been thrown – I know some people are going to say, well, it's a narrow track. They made a great decision. Well, in my opinion, no. And the one yellow that was thrown was for Bushy Bushy Bastard spinning in the middle of the field off turn four. And luckily nobody got collected, and he went 360, still kept going, but hey, let's throw a yellow. Makes sense.
Bushy Bushy Bastard.
Congratulations. Well, if Bushy Bushy Bitch is the 18, then it's got to be Bushy Bushy Bastard.
Wow. Yeah, and what we were referring to, Miss Lee pointed out, that Davison told Rick to get Cody off the damn track, that he was obviously mentally ill, so he's not battling. He wasn't wrecking on his own. That was in reference to that man. Thank you, Miss Lee.
Miss Lee, the lady who we're all afraid of.
Well, I thought I can hear the excitement tonight from Craig, and I can hear the excitement from Taz and Mr. CJ Sports jumping in there. It was a pretty entertaining race, and I feel like we've had the rain so much this year. What could it have really been if we were able to race this race on Friday night and Saturday night? Because I promise you, Friday night's race is gearing up to be a barn burner, and somehow or another, in the end, they both come out pretty equal, even though it's Martinsville. You know, he's turned this into his own track now by namesake. Three out of last four victories have been Martin Truex there at Martinsville.
Hey, I thought for a second there when we were making our picks last week, I almost said something about Ryan Blaney being my pick, and then I was backing out of it and obviously went with Mr. Giggle Logano, and I'm kind of glad that I went with Giggles instead of Barney over there, and I'm totally glad I didn't go with the hamster.
I gotta ask you, how much time did you devote putting these names together? And I'm sure that we will share these names fully on the Race Chat Live page. If not because of filters on Facebook, fans, if you guys want these lists, be sure to send us a message. Send a message to the page. We will gladly send them to you. But I got to know, Taz, how in the blue hell have you had the time with two children, a girlfriend, and a full-time job plus some to sit down and put a list like that together?
Well, you see, it's called multitasking. That's how you do it. I don't know how I managed to do it, but I somehow manage.
I see, said the blind man. All right, let's talk more about Martin Truex. I think it's great. Now we have our first repeat winner of the year. And there's no more shot of 16 different winners. So
well, there's
yeah,
still
yeah.
a chance.
Oh, yeah,
there's
still a
different
shot.
Winners.
There's
still
24
a chance.
Races.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. We could still get another.
But yeah, we can. Yeah, I would definitely say that. I would definitely say that Martinsville definitely delivered. And hey, I know we're talking about Cup, but look at the Xfinity side. Look at the drama and the attention that grabbed. Look at Josh Berry go.
Oh, yeah. And what is up with Dale Jr. admitting that he cried like a baby? And now, I don't know if you guys have seen the news today, Marcus Lemonis has threw a sponsorship down for Josh Berry at Talladega in the number 8 car and says if he can win there, he'll guarantee him 4 more races. So a little bit of sponsorship earned on that. But Junior was very weird this weekend. He was very emotional for the win that Josh Berry got. And I kind of get it. Like, you know, he gave a guy similar to Bubba Pollard. He's given a guy who has made a living, you know, whooping people's ass at the local concrete track, you know, the short track. And now, you know, he's given the opportunity, and he maximized it and won at a place that he's really got a lot of experience racing at. No stranger to victory. Lane and Martin was just not in a Xfinity car. What is it about this win right here that all of a sudden brought the talk of Junior Motorsport going Cup? Like, we've seen talent galore go through Junior Motorsports, guys. We've watched Chase Elliott graduate. We've seen Brad Keselowski in the Junior Motorsports rank. Why Josh Berry's win? Why all of a sudden now is it rumblings of maybe a Cup team?
Well,
how does that tie directly to Josh Berry? And tonight is Dale Jr. Download. I wish that I could have a moment to call in with the Ask Dale Jr. Segment and ask him what it was that just made all those comments come out. Of course, we would think that he would want to go Cup racing eventually. But what was it about Josh Berry's win that all of a sudden want to go Cup racing?
I think with Josh Berry, Junior has seen Berry race from and work his way from basically the ground up, if you want to put it that way. I would feel, in Junior's mention about a Cup team or putting a car in the Cup series for a little while now, sometime it's been a little speculation, but the reason why Junior Motorsports hasn't acted upon it yet is because of the whole charter system and the money they have to come up with to make a charter. And it's a little hard with the charter system. They're saying that's the biggest challenge and biggest financial challenge they're all having. And I believe the reason why they're going with Josh Berry is because so far in the very few races Berry has raced in with Xfinity, he's outdone himself that we've all expected. Like, yeah, you could say Martinsville played in his favor, being that it's a short track, and Josh Berry ran short tracks for his career. But if you look at these bigger tracks that he's raced at so far, he's outperforming them. A lot of us thought he would. We knew the equipment was there. The question was the driver talent really there? And we're being proven that the driving talent's there. Now the question's going to be, is Josh Berry going to be looking at a possible full-time ride for 2022 for Xfinity? And maybe if Junior Motorsports goes to the Cup Series when the next-gen car gets released for at least, I would say, the Daytona 500 and maybe a couple others, They would definitely use Josh Berry. Maybe Josh Berry is their driver, like their face of the team.
All right. Let me interrupt you real quick. Miss Lee just posted or just sent a message to the group. Marcus Lemonis is now dangling sponsorship in front of Josh Berry.
This guy's got to be making money left and right. He's dishing out money more than I've probably seen anyone do.
Well, I don't know. I've seen the U.S. government do it.
That's different.
I think it's great for the sport. I just want to know what Josh Berry has done to warrant this.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as I'm looking at the profile on the Wikipedia, Craig, obviously he has been a member of Junior Motorsports since 2014, and maybe that's the tie to it. I thought that name sounded familiar. Of course, I didn't think that it went back that far to 2014 when he made a few starts in the number five car and also in the 88 car in 2015. Exactly what Ms. Lee just posted. It's a feel-good story for a local driver who was given a chance and given up on, but Junior never gave up on him. And so he's continued to help him out in the late model class, and now he's built his way back up and was obviously more prepared this time than he was. And we're talking about a 31-year-old rookie, you know, as far as this guy, a rookie.
I believe he has the talent. Like I said, he's shown it on track that we never thought he would be successful in. We knew he has the short track talent. So it was just a matter of how well and how quickly can he adapt to these bigger tracks. And it seems like he's just got it.
Well, as that old Gary Reed song said, son, when you hot, you hot.
Yeah, right now he's hot. But I guess kind of it goes back to Steve Park, maybe with Dale Earnhardt. And first of all, Robbie Gordon was one of the first people to ever drive for a DEI. I think we can go back and look at race and reference and see what driver kind of helped elevate the DEI company at the time before DEI as we knew it with Dale Jr., Mikey Waltrip, and Steve Park and Martin Tripp Jr. And I guess maybe that's what this Josh Berry feels like. Maybe it's a Hornaday. You know, remember, Dale Earnhardt gave Hornaday a lot of opportunity. People had already written him off on the Cup side. And Dale Earnhardt paved Hornaday's career, you know, by giving him a stint not only in the Xfinity Series but also in the Truck Series. And I think that they've always needed – that feeling during your motorsports of when do you know it's time? And it's similar to with Steve Park. You know, he helped build those cars that were in the garage. And eventually he did so well and made such a great setup that Senior put him in one and asked him, how do you feel about racing the Burger King car? You know, later this year, I believe it was 1998, and Steve Park said, how could I pass up the opportunity? And I think it was at Watkins Glen that he made his debut.
Yeah, Josh Barrett is just, he's just got it. I feel confident that once Junior Motorsport, when and if they ever field just one car to go and race in the Cup Series, whether it's part-time or full-time, they're looking at Josh Berry being the face of that race team. And I'm looking at racing reference with all the stats they have in Josh Berry. I mean, 19 wins and 51 starts in 6 years for the car's late model stock tour. That's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, 43 top tens in 51 races of that tenure. That is crazy. And
if you're checking the Wikipedia, he's got like 24 wins out of 33 races or something like that in the series that he raced last year.
And by the looks of it, in 13 races of Xfinity in his 5-year tenure, he has 5 top tens and 13 starts. And he scored his first ever top five with the win at Martinsville yesterday. So this guy's got a lot of potential behind him. And Junior could probably be the guy to right now he's the guy to uplift his career. And if Josh Berry really wants to be superstar caliber, I believe he needs to stick with Junior.
Well, yeah, because Junior couldn't really get it done as a driver, so he might get it done as an owner. And I was a Junior fan, and I'm a fan of that.
I'm not going to comment on that.
I'm not a I'm not a Junior fan, but I have said this for, I don't know, as far as back as Chris knows me. I feel that that ownership will be what solidifies Junior. What will, I'm not going to say solidify, but what will finally get him out of from being under Daddy's tailcoat or out of Daddy's shadow. I think that Junior Motorsport will be a legit team in the NASCAR Cup Series. He will have a championship in there, and that will finally be able to get him from underneath that tailcoat. That's something that, yes, Chris, I've been saying that for years. This is something I've seen coming. I'm not surprised this whole conversation, maybe so a little bit more of the fact that it's got to do with Josh Berry or coming after the Josh Berry, but this is something that I have seen. I think this is something that they have been working for a while to put together, and I think that will finally will be able to get all those naysayers to quit saying, and it's because of Daddy, Daddy this, Daddy that. This will be what actually gets him out of that and will make Junior be his own person, no longer in Daddy's shadow.
Well, Daddy's name will get you so far. Look at Kyle Petty.
This is the one opportunity, I think, where somebody got to get into into Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s circle, and they've had some garage talk. They sat around and had a couple beers in the garage with the late model, and Junior said, "Man, I want to get you there. I want to get you there, and I ain't going to give up on you because somebody didn't give up on me." And this is, I can see the picture being painted a lot more now, Mr. CJ Sports, of how this is all meaningful, because you know you've had the transition of driver to, of course, team owner, right? And of course, like he's already been exceptional as a team owner than he was as a driver. I mean, you know, the guy's got 2 Daytona 500, so let's not sell him short. And also, let's remember that for 8 years, this guy was at the bottom of the dumpsters and then made his way back to the top before a head injury eventually sidelined the guy for his career. So, I mean, he had to battle all the way from the top down to the bottom and back up again because cream always rises to the top. I like what you said, Mr. CJ Sports. I believe as well that his legacy is tied behind Junior Motorsports. And I believe that almost every fan out there wants to see a resurrection of DEI. And the only way we'll ever get the true resurrection of DEI is through Junior Motorsports. And it's taken a lot of smart people to get them to the point that they are at today. I always thought that they would jump in and they would do like Tony Stewart and throw a bunch of damn money into sponsorships, get the top caliber drivers. Now I'm seeing it more of the way Junior's done it from the beginning, in-house breeding. They picked Brent Keselowski out of a turnip truck. This guy, he never really showed anything, any promise in a truck. He drove his own for his own father. But it was the determination, I think, that Dale Earnhardt seen in Brent Keselowski that, you know, made him want to fire Shane Huffman, who became a pretty successful crew chief after being fired from Chance 2 Motorsports or Junior Motorsports, I believe, in the transition.
Well, I agree with you, Chris. I think that, and I agree with CJ as well, that this is going to solidify his career. I think he's always wanted to go into Cup. However, there was certain things that needed to be put in place. Obviously, aligning with Hendrick in 07, I think it was, or 08, was his best chance when Dad passed away in 2001. And I think when Dad passed away in 2001, that pretty much solidified the ending of DEI as we know it. So, I mean, you're right. He has 2 Daytona 500s. He resurrected his career at Hendrick. And then, you know, unfortunately, like you said, just to reiterate, that head injury did him in.
See, I wanted to be careful in saying solidify because I am by no stretch of the imagination a senior or junior fan. I don't know, fans crack me up because I think Kyle Busch is like one of the closest racers style-wise as we had to senior. He'll move anybody out of the way, but everybody hates Kyle Busch. and has the same arrogance about him as Senior, but everybody loves Senior, but hates Kyle Busch. So it kind of confuses me with that. So I try not. I try not to use the word solidify because I don't want to use my dislike for Junior, even though I'll tell anybody in a heartbeat, out of the 100 or so odd races I've been to doing media, when Junior won at the grandfather clock at Martinsville, and I got to be in the media center for that particular race as well, that by far, hands down, was the best time I've ever had in the media center. That it was a riot in there. It was by far the funnest. I've been there when Gordon retired. I've been there when Bush has showed his ass. I've been in there for a lot of times. I've got to interview everybody in the first chase back at the Hall of Fame when they did that. But by far, the best time I ever had was when Earnhardt won the grandfather clock at Martinsville. So I didn't want to use that. I just feel, and you can use the word solidify, I just knew he's a Daytona winner. I think if things would have played out differently, there's a good chance he could have won a championship at Hendrick. I just think things didn't play out the way they needed to play out with injuries and just bad luck. So I didn't want to use the word necessary to solidify. So I tried to make sure that I worded that a way that didn't make me come off as a hater. Because I respect him. I've just never been a fan of him. Me, more so, it just solidifies his name in the sport. It solidifies. I'm not going to say more, really solidify. I think that what gets him out of dad's tailcoat, what gets him out of that shadow, I think that's one of the biggest things that haters use against him is you use your dad's name. You wrote off your dad's tailcoat, you this, you that. And so I think that will be, I think he's done enough in his career that he's not necessarily in dad's shadow. I think this right here kind of solidifies all that and it will end that conversation. Because then as an owner, I think he's one of the best owners out there. I think he does really good in recruiting drivers. Obviously, he's done really good with Josh Berry getting to find a young talent, and you're going on 6-7 years. I think he's brought him through the ranks properly. What he's done to rejuvenate Allgaier's career, who after listening to that interview, and he was about ready to walk away from the sport after coming back down after running for Scott Racing, the 51 car, and the bad luck he was having at first. He about walked away from the sport. Now Allgaier seems like he's out there having fun, carrying on with Noah Gregson and getting him out there. And just what he has done with these drivers and different drivers that he has been part of, and it just the quality of product he's putting out there. I think he's done this right. He's one of the better owners in the Xfinity Series, in my opinion. And I think he's doing it to set himself up to be a cup owner. I think he's doing it right, learning what he needs to learn, building a great organization from the ground up. That way, when they were ready, when the sponsorship was there and the team was ready, and all the pieces and the parts were there to be a cup team, that it wouldn't fail. It wouldn't be like a Michael Waltrip Racing where you're here 1 year and gone the next year, and some of these other teams that are just not making it and haven't made it. I think that he's been doing it right and building a phenomenal team in the Xfinity Series. And I think that once he's ready to make this jump, I think that it's going to be a lot of success there. And I think at the end of the day, that's what's going to get him from out of dad's shadow, off dad's tailgate, whatever you want to call it, and solidify his name. I think that there will be a Junior Motorsports car crown champion, and I don't think it'll take long. I'm not going to say year one or year two, but I'd be willing to bet within 5 years. I would not be surprised if his team does not win a championship, they hit one of his cars or his only car. I don't know how many they would come out with and how long before it'd be multiple teams, but one or his only car would be in the four cars in the final race, wherever we happen to have it that year, kind of organization.
I just want to chime in quick. I want to apologize. I was a little disconnected about 15 minutes ago. Our guest, Terrell Racing, was supposed to join us at 8:30. They had an unforeseen emergency that they need to take care of, but they will be joining us June. What date did I tell you, Taz? June?
May 31st.
May 31st. So I just want to apologize for anybody that tuned in. to listen to their interview. But stay here because if you think, if you know Jeremy Terrell, then you know that he's a comedian in and of itself. And if you think he's funny, just keep listening to this show. This is going to get good over the next 90 minutes or so. So May 31st, they're going to join us. I just, you know, what one more thing, and then we'll get out of this Dale Earnhardt Cup team. I think that anybody who, starts off an Xfinity team or starts off a team, for the most part, I think they have the goal of moving up in the ranks. I think they have the goal. I don't necessarily know if they have the stamina. And that is where Junior Motorsports has come up. They have the stamina. Kelly Earnhardt Elledge, I think that's her last name. You know, she's been an intricate part of Junior's success over at Junior Motorsports. She keeps him in check. And I'm pretty sure that when they go cup racing, she will move up as well and foresee those efforts still. And I think that that'll be a big part of Junior Motorsports' success in the Cup Series when, not if, it happens. Taz?
I was going to change subject, but...
Go ahead.
So my thing here, now that we leave off Martinsville and head into Richmond, and we now have our first repeat winner of the season, I'm starting to look at certain teams as to who are the threats, really, now that we're getting more into the season. Who are the teams we need to not really look out for that we are kind of all eyeballing early on? And the two teams I'm going to look at heavily, and we'll start with this team first, that is Joe Gibbs Racing. And right now, to me, and it may shock some people when I say this, but to me, in my own eyes, I believe that Mr. T-Rex is leading Joe Gibbs stable right now. Yes, the hamster is leading the point standings, but he doesn't have a win. He's had winning race cars. It's just putting everything together from flag to flag, and Hamster has not done it.
What do you mean, Chris, which means he's not going to be a Hendrick driver?
Oh, I was listening to Taz. I think we kind of, that was just in the comments there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it was really more of a question mark. Because the comments made by Kelly, of course, we were trying to move away from the subject. Kelly made the comment about Noah, it was asked about Noah Gresden, why they put so much time, quality time into Noah. And she said, well, we don't want to get rid of the next Dale Earnhardt. And so, you know, what that question mark is are they leaning toward, of course, now that we've heard the comment that they want to go cup racing, does that mean that Noah's really doesn't have a chance to be a Hendrick driver? And they, because at some point in time, you have to wonder, when are they going to cut the strings on Noah Gresden? Because there's not any room over at Hendrick Motorsports at this point in time. I said that they're going to stick with Alex Bowman. Willie B's under contract. Of course, Chase Elliott and Kyle Larson are under contract. Yeah, but Taz, what were you saying?
I was looking at teams that we're not looking at who's performing and not performing now that we're eight races in and we finally have our first repeat winner. What teams should we be looking at? What teams should we not be looking at? I'm looking at two teams specifically. One is good, one is bad. Well, I guess you could kind of look at one as good. It depends. Joe Gibbs Racing, they have three wins as a team, but leading the charge is somebody that some people may be surprised by when I say this, and it's not Hamster. Hamster's not leading the charge. Yes, he's the point leader, but he doesn't have any wins. He's got race-winning cars, but you need to put everything together from flag to flag, and unfortunately, him and his team have not done it. Leading the Joe Gibbs stable, in my opinion, is T-Rex. He has won two races. We're heading to a track that favors T-Rex right now, and I believe we could be seeing a switch in Joe Gibbs from Bushy Bushy and Hamster to now it's T-Rex. Ding Dong Bell needs a little work. He's got to win at the Daytona Road Course, but...
Oh, shit. Oh, you might as well call him Ding-a-ling, but I get the ding-dong.
No, ding-a-ling is Almondinger.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I'll tell you right now, while I already have the mic, I have been completely wrong about Martin Truex Jr. And I know you guys don't hear me come out with that too many times, but I have fought the notion that all Truex is at the end of his career was all Cole Pearn. He's proven me wrong every step of the way, and I respect that. Martin Truex, though I have over the years felt that he's been kind of whiny and touchy, when you keep winning, man, you back it up. And that's what he's doing right now. And he is the top dog right now at Joe Gibbs Racing. I don't think any of us would have predicted that at the beginning of the year.
Well, no, because, you know, we said that, I remember the conversation. We had said that, you know, Joe Gibbs is loyal to really only two drivers, and that's Denny Hamlin and Martin Truex, or Denny Hamlin and Crybaby Bush. So, you know, or as Taz calls him, Bushy Bushy Bitch. I like what you just said, Chris, in the chat. Hamlin is today's Mark Martin, just with three Daytona 500 victories. He's always the bridesmaid during championship season. He's never the bride. And, you know, I don't know what the 11 team can do to turn that around. I was listening to Sears last night, and I don't remember what the show. It might have been with the Brad and Brad show there. But there's one guy said, every time I root, I always buy winning diecasts. He says, and I always think, well, damn, now I'm going to have to buy a Denny Hamlin diecast. He goes, and I have some. He goes, it seems like whenever I do that, I get saved and I don't have to waste that money. He said, because he never seems to get it done. And I'm like, well, that happens. That's like Miss, who's somebody commented in our thread yesterday during the race. Oh, Miss Lee did, I believe. Something about she's just going to pick who she doesn't want to win and maybe she'll have a shot. Because every time she picks who she really wants to win, their ass sucks canal water. So, you know, that's also a good point. You know, so it's I don't know what Hamlin's got to do to turn his luck around over there. I don't know what wholesale changes they got to make, if at all, if major changes, but they got to do something. Because Mr. Gibbs is only going to be, the coach is only going to be forgiving for so long.
Well, you're exactly right. And to go a little bit further with what you're saying, Craig, you know, when you when you go in on your own team and you're still racing, you're kind of admitting that, hey, I've got some future plans, right? Those future plans may not necessarily mean trying to win a championship on your own. When he was racing Bubba Wallace, you had to kind of think in your head, okay, what is his frame of mind right now? Is he, I'm going to block for Bubba to win, or is he, I'm going to pass my own car and take a victory? Because the chase means a lot. And, you know, I guess, you know, similar to what Kyle Busch did with Joe Heyman, check, we'll all sit here and say that Kyle Busch has learned his never beating his own trucks throughout the years, that, you know, wins are pretty important, especially into the chase and for sponsorship. They have to get there. And he's had trucks miss the chase because he took victories away from his own guys. So being with that said, if it was a last lap and Bubba Wallace was in the lead, would he pass or would he block? And
well, I would almost say that he would pass.
Kind of says where his career is.
I would almost say if I was a betting man, and I am, I would say that he would pass because he wants that just as much as Bubba or whatever new driver that he's going to get in there for hopefully next season, because if Bubba and CJ said it perfectly yesterday, Bubba's claim to fame was the racism card last year, and that's only going to get you so far in NASCAR. That's only going to get you so far in life. I think that if Bubba doesn't turn his shit around this year, I think MJ is going to be very, very vocal with getting somebody in that car that can get the job done.
That's where I think you're wrong, Craig, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I believe that Hamlin would make sure that his future paycheck is better than his paycheck that he's getting now. So that would mean that he would block for Bubba Wallace, because the eventual payout is that's a successful race cup team. He's already getting paid from Joe Gibbs, my friend. He's already got that check cash. And anybody that does DoorDash knows that if you can maximize your profit, you are in there. So you will decline something that's not worth your time. But if it maximizes your profits and it can be fit, you're going to accept that and try to double your money. It's exactly what Hamlin will be faced with if it comes down to the last race of the year or the last race of the regular season and Bubba Wallace 1 point out from getting in. Denny Hamlin will have to make a choice whether or not to spin out pit or just accept fate for what it truly is. And knowing the future that he has brought forth with this 2311 team, he'll be more worried about that than he will be his own self, which goes back to the point that Miss Lee made. He's not focused on a championship anymore. He's focused on the future. Chad.
Yeah, I'm going to
side
with
Craig.
I think. I'm going to side with Craig when it comes to Hamlin going against Hubba Bubba. And if it came down to would you pass him or would you let him go? Hamster needs to prove something, and we all know, and I'm sure he knows it too, that he wants the championship. He needs a championship to really solidify himself. And, I mean, he's done a lot in his career, and we all know that the championship really eludes him. It's like eating him alive, and we all know once and if he ever gets that championship, that giant monkey's going to be lifted off his shoulder, but it's just only a matter of time. And we all know if he doesn't get a championship as a driver, then he's obviously going to focus on the ownership. But the question is going to be, how long of this alliance deal are you going to have with Joe Gibbs? Are you going to keep it going till you basically die off? Or are you going to be the guy that'll run on your own? And I believe with Hubba Bubba, he's already got sponsorship, but he needs to be consistent. And we saw him play strategy yesterday, and some of it kind of worked, some of it didn't, but Bubba's got the sponsorship, so Hamlin primarily has FedEx. I mean, I think he picked up one or two more primary sponsors this year, but Hamster's at this rate just needs to focus on, if I want a championship, I got to do it now. Otherwise, I'm never going to do it unless I get as an owner, which I have plenty of time to do.
Now, let's talk Carl Edwards. There was rumblings that he was coming back or that he missed racing. And I don't doubt one bit he misses being behind the wheel. I don't think he misses the daily grind or the daily frustration or the weekly frustration or, hell, the lap-by-lap frustration that he felt.
The guy stood in front of us and quit.
SRX.
The guy stood in front of us in January of a new race season and quit. He quit. He put his helmet. He as the old saying, he got his ball and went home. He picked up his helmet and went to the house. He quit. Now all of a sudden, Carl Edwards wants to come back to racing for a one and done. What he seen was that dirt race, and he thought, oh, my God, I got to be a part of it. But that's what every racer on the edge of their seat said. So is it relevant that Carl Edwards all of a sudden wants to come back? Look, this guy was raking his mind by Tony Stewart in 2014 when Tony sat next to him and said, I'm going to win this championship. And Carl was like, well, you got to go through me first. And he was like, I already have. And from that point on, Carl Edwards was never the same, and all it ever did was hurt his feelings every time he lost another championship. So now all of a sudden, Carl Edwards says, oh, there's a dirt race. I want to come back for a one and done. Look, man, everybody wants to do what Greg Biffle did. But Greg Biffle really did pull off what nobody thought he could do. That was a one and done.
For Flippy Cousin Carl,
the flipper.
he basically pulled this. Oh, I got wrecked in the championship, honey. Save me. What am I going to do? I don't know what to do anymore. And here comes the whip. You're done. I am here today to announce my retirement from NASCAR. I have officially quit. I can't stand this. I know it's January, race season next month, but I can't do it anymore. He cried, whipped, and that was about it. Now he wants to come back and says, oh, I missed it. I would like to have a ride. Hey, Flippy, go over to a smaller series. If you want to do a one-and-done deal, well.
Yes.
I don't know
yes.
where you're going to go for that, but.
Miss Lee put it perfectly.
That's one for you.
Miss Lee put it perfectly. Cousin Carl has been. His wife whooped him.
I mean, look, you could have walked away from racing and still been a part of racing. You could have gotten out of the car and still somehow filled out your contract with Joe Gibbs or you got to join the broadcasting booth. We all thought Cousin Carl would do great in the broadcasting booth. This guy took his ball and went home, and we ain't heard nothing from him in 4 years. And then all of a sudden a dirt race pops up, and it was really cool, and it was fun to watch. And now this guy says, hey, I want a one and done. Go back home with your ball and enjoy retirement, Cousin Carl. You know, and I'm sure somebody will give him a chance, and whether or not that's warranted, maybe so. But I would definitely want more of a commitment than a one and done. This one and done has started with Dale Jr.'s yearly one and done, but that was prior commitments with sponsorships. That's how he got sponsorships to sit at the table for a full year. Is hey, I'm going to drive this one race, and you're going to sponsor me for it. And I get it. So Cousin Carl was wanting a one and done. The guy left the sport. He abandoned us. There were Cousin Carl fans who were devastated that this guy up and left the sport and was unheard from for 4 years.
SRX, SRX, SRX.
Tony Stewart would just rape his mind there, too. He doesn't want to get anywhere near Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart single-handedly wrecked Carl Edwards' career because Carl Edwards was going to be a champion in the Cup Series. Tony Stewart did what nobody thought he could do, and it started with kicking out a certain somebody's wife that's on the show. That was a hell of a year for Tony. And he said he got rid of some, well, I won't say what he said because I think highly of this person. So, but anyway, it is what it is. Tony Stewart come out there and he whooped Carl Edwards' ass, got the most laps led, got the win, and Cousin Carl went home with a really sad face. And then it took four more years of trying to get something that he was never going to have. And eventually took his ball and went home because he knew that he could never get the job done. So,
all right. Chris, did you know, sorry to interrupt you, but I just seen this. I was just looking up the question that Miss Lee asked, and I see it as a no. She asked, has he done any racing at all? From what I can see, no. Chip Ganassi did contact him about replacing Larson last year, but he said no. So we'll have
he
to see what.
He turned out what?
Yeah,
he
no
turned
interest.
Out right. Chip Ganassi.
Oh my God!
No interest at all.
Oh my! Oh,
he just turned him down. Basically, was like, I'm not interested at all. I'm enjoying being retired. But I mean, this Carl Edwards has dirt roots. So, like I said, any of us dirt fans, we were on the edge of our seats for that race. It made us feel emotional. It gave us this happy feeling. And Cousin Carl just like opened his mouth and was like, "Hey, I want to come back." And we're all like, "Dude, stay at the house. Better for you.
Stay at the house with your whip that your wife hits you with." So
go fly your airplane.
Look, I see a lot of people that. And Miss Lee can identify this with this probably more than us guys, but it kind of reminds me of baby fever. You know, you see a newborn baby and they're cute and cuddly and, you know, and you think, oh, well, that ain't a one and done, son. A baby comes along and that's a lot of work. So Carl Edwards had baby fever when he seen the dirt race, and then once he realized that it was going to be more of a commitment than he wanted to deal with, he seen that no team was really interested, he kind of changed his mind. Miss Lee just said laughing my ass off. Because I don't know too many guys that get baby fever. I get racing fever once in a while. I'm still trying to find somebody to let me go in their four-cylinder this year one time.
Oh, boy. Please. Oh, no.
So back to the point of Joe Gibbs Racing and maybe being the top organization right now because they maximized themselves on three wins, which is, I think, twice more than any other organization, right? Because we've only had a few winners, Kyle Larson.
No. Hendrick has two.
No. Okay. Who? Larson and Free Willy?
Yeah, Free Willy and Larson.
Okay. So it's like, yeah, you expect Chase to be the one of the winners. He's not. And over at the Gibbs, you expect Kyle Busch or Denny Hamlin, neither one of those guys have won. And over at Penske, you expect Logano and Keselowski, but it's actually Logano and Ryan Blaney. So as we watch the tides turn in the Cup Series, some definite – but who is the strongest organization? Because Joe Gibbs Racing has three wins, and the other organizations such as Hendrick and Penske both have two wins. Of course, Stuart Haas has zero wins. And Childress Racing has zero wins. How does that rank them amongst each other? Who is the most? Who is the dominant organization? Right? Who is better fit for the championship run? Is it Penske? Is it Hendrick? Or is it?
I don't think there's one strong true organization that's out there. Yeah, JGR has three wins. Then you have Hendrick and Penske with two. But if you're looking as a team overall, in terms of what I'm looking at, in terms of the playoff grid right now, your strongest team, in my opinion, is, and it's not by a whole lot either, is JGR. They have three wins. In terms of points, you have T-Rex and Hamster top two. Ding Dong Bell sits 10th. And Bushy, I'm not, oh, screw it. Bushy Bitch is in 11th. Mr. CD, I'm sorry, not sorry.
Boosh. I don't see how you can really count out Hendrick right now being the top organization,
but
because you've got the hottest driver in the Cup Series right now, Kyle Larson,
who probably
would have been in a better position to win had he not had his freaking teammate slowing him down. Get the hell out of the way, Chase Elliott. Let Larson to the front. But that's going to be the problem at Hendrick Motorsports. Chase Elliott.
Hendrick
will refuse to admit that Kyle Larson is the big daddy now at Hendrick Motorsports.
Hendrick will not. Hendrick right now is not the top tier team. And here's why I say this. Alex Bowman is not in the top 16 of the playoffs right now. He currently sits 17th in points, 5 points back. Is that much? No. But if you look at the other three Hendrick cars compared to Bowman, Larson sits fourth, and then it's Byron and Elliott sixth and seventh respectively. And Bowman's out camping somewhere in Thousand Islands. And that's why I say JGR right now, as we speak, is the top team, because you have two guys in the top two of the points. And then you have 10th and 11th.
Well, what the hell has Bushy Bitch Boy done for me lately? I mean, other than just burn through my damn fantasy league. I mean, okay. So what's Hamlin really done? I mean, you're basing this off of Ding Dong Bell and Martin Truex, who happened to win two races, one of them being at Martinsville. And we know the reason why the Fords are having such a hard time.
Wins. I'm looking at points,
we're
my
not
friend.
Even talking about Penske, and you're still trying to crown JGR as this holy bearer, this Jesus Christ of NASCAR right now. And I just don't see it. I don't like it. I mean, to hell with Toyota. They should be illegal.
Oh my God. So did a post on my personal page and I tagged Taz in it, but me racing a four cylinder is going to be like Denny Hamlin winning another championship, as the great Vince McMahon would say, I got no chance. But I don't know.
You know one team that's slouching though? One team that is slouching, and you can probably say it's maybe the younger experience or something's happening over there. Not
horrible.
Sure what's going on. Stuart Haas, struggling. What is going on? Last year, they were one of the big teams to look out for. This year, it's like the switch just got flipped. Like, where do they go?
I know where they went.
It's a rebuild year.
They went to the shitter and forgot to come out.
Oh, my God. Well, Harvick's 44 years old. The rest of the team's fairly young. Eric Amarola stinks worse than a bullshit. Okay.
The double A battery needs some charge.
He needs something for sure. A little bit of Energizer or something in that number 10 Smithfield Farms machine. I mean, wake up and smell the bacon, buddy. You know, you're about to be out of a ride, son. Carl Edwards is knocking on your freaking door. You better watch out.
I mean, shoot, you have Happy Harvick, who's going to be retiring in a few years.
Replaced
by
Cousin Carl.
I mean, Brisket boy down there is struggling at the moment.
Whatever. And then he was having a good race, and then he had a flat tire.
Well,
Brisket Boy was having a good race.
I can understand Brisket Boy struggling. I mean, rookie season, you're adjusting. I mean, look at Custard Sauce last year until he won Kansas out of nowhere.
Yeah, zero progression this year by Cole Custer. That is a concern. Zero progression. Like, we're not talking more about Cole Pern. He's about like Chris Buescher's win. It happened, but we all forgot about it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I just... Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, Stuart Haas struggling. I mean, like I said, you got Happy Man Harvick, who's only got a few years left. He's... I don't know if he's going to be going on this Jimmy Johnson slump to end his career.
It happens fast. It happens really fast. And we could be seeing this not just from Harvick, but several other Cup drivers who, like Casey Kane. Nobody would have bet that Casey Kane's career would have fell off as quick as it did. When he went to Hendrick Motorsports, Casey's about to win championships. He's in the best spot that he can be at. Oh, my gosh. He's going to put that five car. You know, they're going to be unstoppable. Kenny Francis, the crew chief. This is a match made in heaven. Well, you know, what did he come up with? 3 wins total with the organization in 5 years?
Mitch Lee just brought up a really good point, guys. And then we're gonna talk local racing. What's Happy Harvick gonna do now that his truck team is gone because he listened to Mrs. Fire's suit there and disbanded his truck team? Maybe he needs to do what every good owner needs to do every once in a while and get her out of the way and let him figure out his career, because his agency sure as hell ain't doing much shit.
He's probably going to pull the Chef Boyardee move, join the broadcast booth, but he'll do it Xfinity style.
Yeah, well, I like Clint Boyer in the booth, so I hope they don't screw with that combination.
I like DW missing the booth. That was pretty sad there.
Say that again.
DW actually come out publicly and said that he missed being in the booth. A retirement was not what he thought it would be.
Wow.
But guys,
yeah, that's,
take
probably
right here.
That's probably because the wife has him doing more projects at home now that he doesn't have anything really to do.
Yeah. Well,
like,
the guy's been racing his whole life. He was 17 years old and racing with his entire life, and I guess when you get home and you realize, hey, this is it, you know, this is the final stretch, I guess it can kind of get to you. So let's go into a commercial break, guys. Trying to find it. Hold on.
Are you ready?
Your wedding day, a day that you've envisioned in your mind since you were a child. And now that it's becoming a reality, don't risk your once-in-a-lifetime event to a once-in-a-while amateur you found on Craigslist. The entertainment you choose for your special day can either make or break your celebration. You can never redo your wedding. But you can avoid a costly mistake by hiring a true professional. We make every wedding unforgettable.
When what you need is more than music, what you want is more to music. That's M-O-O-R-E to M-U-S-I-C. More to music. Find More to Music on Facebook. M-O-O-R-E to M-U-S-I-C. Also, moretomusic.com. More to Music specializes in weddings, anniversaries, parties of all kinds, including the one in your backyard where you want some karaoke for all your friends. More to Music. Owner-operator Craig Moore can be found on Facebook right now. More to Music. M-O-O-R-E, the number 2, M-U-S-I-C. More to Music. More to Music. By the way, it's never too early to plan your event. Plus, check out moretomusic.com. Find out how you could win $500 in Karaoke Idol. moretomusic.com. More to Music. All of Craig Moore's services offered are available on his webpage, moretomusic.com. M-O-O-R-E, the number 2, M-U-S-I-C.com. moretomusic.com. When what you want is more than music, what you need is more to music. moretomusic.com.
All right. That's a hell of a commercial. We got to get some more, though, in there. Listen, I want to say something to follow up that spot of mine. 2022 is already booked. I don't know what the hell that just was. But... 2022 already booking, and if I will travel, because I'm going down to, I'm actually going down to Jason's old neck of the woods, down in the Raleigh area, in July. So I will come there. If you're willing to pay, I'm willing to travel. So, Taz. You said to us all that you were going to release your inner Hulk Hogan. Now, that's not the racism side, right? Because that wouldn't be good.
No. Oh, it's not messing with the Bubba, with Bubba's wife either, is it?
No.
Ooh, from Ocala? Ooh, maybe we should mention that.
Well, let me tell you something here, brother. Fonda Speedway, with the Track of Champions, is back in action this Saturday night. For the 2021 season, the fans are back. That's right, the fans are back, brother. We have the Sunoco Modifieds, the Swagger Factory Apparel, Crate 602 Sportsmen, Montgomery County Office of Aging Limited Sportsmen, the Algonquin Motel Pro Stocks, and the Fonda Fair 4-Cylinder Cruisers, all taking action. Kicking things off for the 2021 season. Fans are back in the stands, brother. And what you gonna do when the DJ Craig Moore and the Tasmanian Double Flaggers, Taz Taylor, runs wild all over Fonda Speedway, brother?
I guess that means I gotta show up now, huh?
Oh. Got a sleeping weapon.
I don't usually go until the weather is warmer, but now since Taz says something about I'm going to be there, I guess I better show up.
You better. After I just pull all that.
I usually don't go until it's warmer.
But yes, Fonda back in action. Fans in the stands. Woo! That's right. Gates open at Fonda at 3:30, hot laps at 5:30, racing hits the green at 6:30. Grandstand pricing, adults are $11, seniors 65 and above, $9, kids 11 and under are free. If you go into the pits, Fonda members are $30, non-members $35, and this past Saturday, they had practice, and three drivers were awarded a $100 bonus for setting quick times, or should I say as I think it's good old World of Outlaws put it, the quick time. That's right. Bobby Barron had the quick time overall in practice in the Sunoco Modifieds with a speedy lap of 18.998 seconds around the half mile. Mark Mortensen had the Crate 602 Sportsman fast lap of 19.804 seconds. And Kenny Gates, no shocker there, sets the quick time for the Algonquin Motel Pro Stocks with a time of 21.944. Those three drivers get the $100 bonus from Hazer's Quick Time by Rob Hazer. Then Stephen Gray sets a fast time for the Limited Sportsman with a 20.858 second lap time. Then the dual overhead cam cruiser champion from 1 year ago, he set the quick time at practice for the four cylinders again with a 25.512 second lap time. Danny Barron, they had a few sprint cars there, and Danny Barron set the quick time there with 17.343 seconds. And again, Fonda Speedway back in action in 2021, opening night this Saturday, April 17th. The track and champions back in action for their 70th consecutive season of racing at the Montgomery County Fairgrounds. And the sponsor of this event is Alton and Carol Palmer of Palmer Service Center. And plus, Short Track Super Series Cajun Region round number 2 kicks off this Saturday at Thunder Valley Speedway in Louisiana. Can Cody Robbins go 2 for 2? Or will somebody
down here in my territory, Taz?
And hey, Chris, speaking of the Cajun Region, did you happen to catch that Dirt Track Digest article I sent you over?
Oh, I sure did, my friend.
How'd you feel of some of the points that were made in there?
Very impressed. And I think that I was a fan of it from the beginning, saying, look, these guys have had such a, rules. It's been so open around here with the modifier. And the lack of super late models, the interest as well. This is something that fans can get fired up about. And already having 14 race cars, man, I'm telling you, we are on the verge of a breakout with this big block modified down here in the South. I cannot wait to see what it is in another year.
Yeah, from what I hear, they started with 14. And 1 year ago, they had 3 in their first event. So go from 3 mm-hmm. to 14. That's pretty impressive. And then you're going to go and have possibly more cars. And, hey, 20-lap feature for $1,000 to win. You can't go wrong with that for down there.
No, and I was kind of surprised that the purse was as low as what it is, considering that these are the main event cars where y'all come from. $1,000 isn't, really, it's not that big of a purse. We're paying those in modifieds. We're paying those in street stock sometimes. Even a factory stock race the other night was $1,500 to win. So $1,000 for the winner is a very doable purse, and it's good to see the promoter working with the racetracks at an affordable rate of a purse.
I think they're just putting it that low for the time being that they're trying to see what counts look like and such like that. So. But also another plug-in based on a past guest that we had earlier this year, Bestel Motor Speedway roars for the first time in 2021 this Saturday, April 17th as well. They'll be having open class practice from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. All cars in class competing at the Speedway 2021 are a welcome. Pit admission $30. Then at 6 p.m., they go racing with the first race of the 2021 Open Comp Competition Enduro Championship Series, the Junkyard Dog 71-lap championship honoring longtime racer and friend, the Junkyard Dog, Don Palmatier, starting at 6 o'clock. Enduro entry is $50, and grandstand admission is free. Face coverings and social distance required on Speedway grounds. So, Andy, So, Andy, or any Bethel Motor Speedway fan that's out there listening, I just got yourselves a plug.
Well,
all right.
Chris, you got anything for Why Not or no?
Yeah, I mean, we're racing this weekend. No big deal. Just a weekly racing show. I believe we may have some school buses that we're going to race. But nothing really big that stands up. Yeah, we have a school bus race about once a year. Of course, it's I won't give it away, but it's kind of like wrestling. We know who's going to win.
Man, we smash school buses up here, and you guys are racing them.
Yeah. No, it's turned into a tradition, and it's choreographed, and they have a really good time with it, and there's some danger involved, and there's some school buses that might just get turned over a couple of times.
We turn them over, too, up here, but it's usually by the sheriff's department. I shouldn't say that.
Well, I would hope that your gas tanks aren't filled with moonshine. Not saying that ours are, but maybe I am.
Well, you know, it's not fueled by moonshine. At least not good quality moonshine. Which I'm not objecting to if you want to send me some up here.
Well, I mean, that's the whole point in turning them upside down so you can get all the drop out of it, you know?
That's right. No, I'm excited for Fonda this weekend. I know Jeffrey Terrell is listening in, and they did pretty well, too. In the third, I think the only one that beat them was Mark in times. Taz, you have the times there, do you not?
Not everyone's times. I didn't pull that up.
Oh, okay. I was talking to Jeremy today at work, and he said that they made a change. They didn't, from what I understand, and Jeff, I know you're listening. Yes, the trucks are still off. He said they made some changes. He wanted to make a change in the second practice, but they held off and made it in the third practice. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see come this coming weekend. I know Jeremy got his first Fonda stripe. It looked pretty good. They'll have that fixed. And I know of a sponsor coming to Terrell Racing, but I don't know. Hey, Jeff, I know you're listening. Press 1 if you want to make that announcement who your newest sponsor is coming to your
There's
race
nobody
team.
On there.
What's that?
There's nobody on there.
Oh,
I'll tell
right.
you to my top tip.
All right, I didn't know if he was still listening or not. But Jeremy let the cat out of the bag to me today. I'll share it on the Race Chat Live page as soon as he releases it to the public. But it's a pretty big sponsor for a little-known limited sportsman team here in the upstate area. Let's just put it that way. So, Miss Lee said... Yeah, he might be. All right. I will tell you that we're going to go over the schedule, Taz. Go over the schedule for the weekend.
NASCAR schedule for Richmond this weekend. We have the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series with the Toyota Care 250 at 1:30 p.m. Eastern on Fox Sports 1. Or if you want to listen on the radio, it'll be on MRN, the Motor Racing Network. Then on Sunday, April 18th, the Stars and Cars of the NASCAR Cup Series will hit the track at Richmond for 3 p.m. Eastern start time for the Toyota Owners 400. And that'll be on the main Fox broadcast channel. Also on the radio side will be MRN, the Motor Racing Network, to cover that one. And for you Canadian folks, the main TSN broadcast channel will have your coverage up north of the border.
That's awesome.
And for the first time, and for the truck series, believe it or not, they ran in September of 2020 last year, but before that, they have not ran at Richmond since 2005. So this is going to be, I think this is going to be one wild card truck race, in my opinion.
I like the trucks on a short track. I always have. I like them on a short track. You know, I'm not a big fan of the big track races because I don't like to follow the leader crap. I like when they're beating and banging like they do at the Ridge every week. And, you know, it should prove to be epic. Now, this is another Saturday night race for the Cup Series, correct?
No, we're racing daytime at Richmond this time.
Shit.
Think of it this way too. This for the Cup Series. This is the third short in 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Third race in a row. Third short track in a row in 4 weeks. Woo, baby.
There's a song and I can't think of it. It starts off that way. I always go back. All right, Jeffrey is in the queue. If somebody could put him in the queue, I told him if he wanted to call in and release his two new sponsors, one of which is local, the second one, somebody wants to turn down their volume. So that way we have no feedback. That would be awesome. That might be Jeffrey. There we go. Don't get hooked on me. Yes, Miss Lee. Baby,
hello?
Baby, don't get hooked on me. And that is why I DJ and don't sing. So it's... All right. Can somebody turn down their radio, their internet?
Hello?
Jeff, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Is that your computer in the background?
It might be my cell phone that I had in my hand. You want me to move it?
Yeah, please. Did you
like
my rendition of that song?
Is that better?
That is better. How are you, buddy?
Good. How are you tonight?
Good. So, Loudmouth, otherwise known as your son, he's a great kid. I bust him, but he's a great kid. He let the cat out of the bag on two new sponsors that you guys have. one of them is local to the Adirondacks. The other has ties to the Xfinity series. Am I correct?
Yes, you are. Very correct.
I'm pretty smart, even though I work where I work. I'm pretty smart. if you want to let the cat out of the bag, go right ahead.
All right. After racing Saturday, we had gotten a phone call that afternoon, and then Sunday it was confirmed, and Great Clips had asked if they could be on our team and join our team. So coming this Saturday, Great Clips will be on the car.
That is phenomenal. Congratulations. Now, I got to ask you, how did they pick Terrell Racing to pick up the phone or to get a hold of you on your various social media outlets to sponsor your team? Because, and not without going into the interview, we're still waiting for Chris to come back, but you guys haven't raced um, Yeah, I know, Taz.
We haven't raced in 13 years.
Yeah. And Jeremy and I were talking about that today, and that was due to some personal decisions you made, which is perfectly viable. But how did that come about real quick? And then we got to get back to doing our picks for the final.
They had a young lady who represents them at the races by the name of Marissa Saturday, and she was walking around and talking to different people and watching the races. And at the end of our last session, she had come up and asked if we'd be interested in talking with them in regards to sponsorship of the car. I said yes. I didn't know how far it would go. Then later that afternoon, it escalated, and then finally Sunday, we closed everything up to have them on our car.
That is phenomenal. Taz, you want to chime in here real quick?
So
he might.
With you guys not racing for the first time in 13 years, if I heard that right?
Yes.
How was it taking the track for the first time this weekend? What division and how many cars are you guys lining up for this year?
Well, Saturday at Fonda Speedway, we ran the 602 rookie class, which we're going to start in because of the fact that he hasn't raced in 13 years. So we're going to run that class for a little bit, and then we'll bump up to the regular 602 within time. It was nerve-wracking. It was a little, you know, we're used to it. We've done it many times. Jeremy's raced since he was 7 years old. But it was a little nerve-wracking knowing that we were going back to the track and we were finally going to be competitive, even though I've been in the sport with other drivers for quite a few years.
That is awesome. I'm thrilled for you guys. You got another sponsor, Gibo. How do you say it? Teresa Gibo Photography, I guess it is, out in Lake George. That is your other sponsor.
Yes,
that came
Teresa
on
Gibo
today.
Yes, that's one. That's another one that's coming aboard that we're finalizing and finishing up at this moment.
Yep, and I spoke to her on the phone. I'm actually doing a wedding with her in July. And she's actually going to do a photo shoot for me, a couple headshots for some marketing. But listen, I'd love to have you on longer, but we got to get some stuff done. But we're going to have you guys back May 31st.
Okay. And Jeremy should be on with me at that night.
Yeah, that would be ideal, is to have you both on that night.
Absolutely.
But
we'll make sure we're together.
Congratulations on the Great Clip sponsorship. I think that's phenomenal for a team of, you know, for somebody who has not raced in 13 years, that is phenomenal news to come back and come out of the gate with on a Saturday and finalize it on Sunday. So that is just phenomenal.
We're excited and we look forward to partnering up with them and to having a great season for them.
Now, do they have any local places?
Fantastic Sam's and Great Clips are both in the same entity.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Fantastic Sam's cut my hair for years. So
right in Johnstone and Amsterdam.
And Amsterdam. So, again, congratulations. Keep listening, and we'll talk to you real soon.
All right. Thank you. You have a wonderful night.
Thanks, you too.
Bye, Dad.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye.
That was Jeffrey Terrell of Terrell Racing announcing his major sponsorship. And I say major because, Taz, that's a big deal for a team that's not raced in 13 years. I mean, it's Fantastic Sam's. Yes, corporations have little offshoots. Fantastic Sam's is a part of the Great Clips family, but they don't run the they don't have the Great Clips logo on their buildings. So if it was Fantastic Sam's, yeah, that'd be phenomenal because it's local. But when you get great clips, that says something. They lined themselves up with, if I'm not mistaken, Joe Gibbs Racing in the Xfinity Series. Am I correct?
I'm trying to look that up. I want to say they are part of the Joe Gibbs stable, but I don't want to be quoted wrong on it, but they do partner with a monster truck known as Mohawk Warrior and Monster Jam.
So, you know, and Miss Lee just confirmed it. She just looked it up. Thanks, Miss Lee. You know, I'm trying my damnedest to get that lady on. Miss Lee, for many of you that don't know, she is the silent but deadly partner of the 110 Nation. And I say silent because you don't hear her on the air. We're hoping to get her on next week. And I say deadly because she is probably one of our biggest critics each and every week. And I use that term lovingly because she will send us her thoughts on the show. And listen, I made it past 9 o'clock and I haven't fallen asleep yet.
You didn't have a lot of food this time, I guess.
No, and I've been drinking coffee. So, you know. But no, I just think it's great. I think it's great for a local driver. And, I mean, I know Jeff and I know Jeremy, and both great guys. Jeff is one of the top salesmen at Mangino Chevrolet in Amsterdam. So if you're, I'll give them a shout out. I'll give them a plug. I don't really care. Go see Jeff if you're in the market for a new or used car. And if somebody were to come on with a, what the hell's the name of it? A James Chevrolet dealer, sponsorship or a Fusillo sponsorship, I would plug them too. If you're in the market for a new or used car, go down and see Jeff. And he'll take good care of you. I know he will. And, again, I just think it's great. I'm going to give you my pick. We're going truck racing this weekend. Is that what we're doing? Yes.
Yes, we are. And I am working on sending over a entry list to you right about now, so everyone knows the truck entry list, because, yay, Mr. Kyle Busch is racing the truck series. I'm excited.
All right, I'll get Kyle Busch for the win.
Mr. Bushy, Bushy. Never mind.
Have you seen the race results for fantasy? Because that may play a part in how I pick this weekend.
I'll take Kyle Busch for the win. Since he's in it, I gotta take Kyle Busch for the win.
Oh, dude, you're cheap. Such cheap move. What a guy.
I gotta do something. I gotta get my mojo back. Like, my ass is sucking canal water. I mean, if Miss Lee beats me, I need to just retire.
She's catching you.
She's forgotten more NASCAR than we know.
What's that, buddy?
She's forgotten more NASCAR than what we know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. She's probably one of the smartest women I know. Well, besides my mama, anyway.
Oh, that's sweet.
So, yeah, the favorites going in, probably John Hunter Nemechek, Spencer Boyd, Zane Smith, Chase Purdy. Timothy Peters is going to be in this race. He's always a threat when he shows up.
Timothy Peters is full-time this year.
And Brett Moffitt, another one that could be a stronghold. Stuart Friesen, Matt Crafton, Grant Enfinger is actually in the 98 truck this weekend, so... Those are just a few of the favorites. Of course, Tanner Gray. Is Tanner Gray going to be able to race this weekend after being in a wreck?
Tanner Gray's under the entry list, so we'll see.
Yeah, Haley Deegan. Could this
yeah,
be the race where she breaks
no
out?
Worries.
Oh, come on. She's just another
so
Danica Patrick.
Why you gotta be so ugly?
I'm not. I'm being truthful. Wait
no,
a minute.
No, I mean,
have
I'm
you
serious.
Seen
like, why
do you
have to be so ugly?
Have you not seen me in pictures? I am not the prettiest in the world.
Thanks for radio.
Absolutely, man. They told me to wear Donald Trump at every mask, every wedding I go to. It'll just hide the ugliness.
So what you're saying is Jennifer Jo Cobb is going to have, at the end of the year, is going to have a better standing than Haley Deegan.
Yeah.
No, I actually expect Haley to really catch on there toward the end of the year and show us. And now, that's if DGR is actually strong enough to be capable to win. We haven't seen it yet with Todd Gilliam, who could have really pissed his career away once he got released from Cowboys Motorsports. So let's go into picks. Who are you? You're picking Kyle Busch. I have a feeling most of the people here are going to pick Kyle Busch.
Yeah, I'm picking Kyle Busch. I think Miss Lee said she's going for Kurt Busch.
Yeah, but I don't see
Kyle
Kurt.
Busch, I think.
Yeah.
But she's going to root for Peters because him and our late fearless leader, Mr. Stephen Bellmeyer, were good friends. So I'm going to take Kyle Busch. Miss Lee is taking Kyle Busch.
Well, I'm up in the air between the two Smith boys. Should it be Zane Smith or Chandler Smith? I picked Zane Smith a couple of times this year, but I'm going to go with the Kyle Busch Motorsports. I'm going with Chandler Smith. I don't know why, but maybe this will be the race where he can break out.
All right. Well, I'm sticking in the Toyota camp. And I'm going with a guy who's already won this year. He finished podium last year at Richmond. Four sport driver Ben Rhodes.
Wow, when you said
that's
Toyota camp, I was really thinking it was John Hunter Nemechek, but you threw me for a loop there with Ben Rhodes. That's a good pick.
Taylor Gray is not racing because of an off-course accident, Miss Lee said.
Yeah, and that was also Gray Galding's sister that was involved in that wreck as well. Both sustained injuries. Fortunate enough, neither were life-threatening injuries. But it was a pretty serious wreck, and just glad that both of them are okay. And it is kind of ironic that she is dating a guy named Tanner Gray, and her brother's name is Gray Galding. So just kind of weird how that worked out.
So she probably says Gray, and they both look.
Yeah. I mean, I would expect that, right? It's like, was there a sign or something that said, hey, you know, I don't know. It's really weird. So, but Tanner Gray will not race this weekend. They will have, could possibly be David Gillian, I guess, in the car. In the truck, for the 15 truck. So I guess we'll move over to cup picks. I'm definitely not going to be the first one to give my cup pick because I'm going to feed off of what I hear you guys say, which means I will probably not be picking anybody that you are picking. So we can start with Taz or Miss Lee.
Me? Whew. Woo-hoo. Well, I got a couple eyeballers. I saw what Kyle Larson did at Martinsville, and I know how Richmond can run if Larson, and with the turns being a little bit more banked, if Larson can get the line rolling, he can do it. Obviously, you can look at Hamster. You can look at Bushy Rowdy Bushy Bushy, being that he's got a lot of wins there. You could also look at Giggles, Mr. Star Trek Grayson.
That is hilarious.
You're killing me, Taz. It's that Star Trek Grayson.
But there's a lot of drivers to look at. But I'm hoping my money feels good about this one. I'm going to stick with Mr. La-la-la-la-la-la-la Larson.
Wow. Miss Lee agrees with you. Miss Lee agrees with you. She says Larson, she's going to regret it. So she just picked you both to finish in last place.
And this guy was arguing me earlier saying Hendrick Motorsports was not the strongest organization right now today. But yet he's going to pick a Hendrick organization driver who would actually make it, pump it up to 3-3 with Joe Gibbs and Hendrick. But yet Hendrick is not in the same ball field as JGR.
Hey, I didn't say they,
I mean,
they
I'm
were
picked,
not.
I'm finding the smoke screen
I did not
here.
Say they were
I'm
not in the same ball field.
I'm finding it. There is a ripple in the armor.
No, I did not
You're
say
not
they're not in the same ball field. They're close.
Are.
They are close. Alex Bowman just needs a little bit more oomph. He needs that showman to kick in.
Showman
and uplift
Bowman.
That 48 curse.
Where's Kyle Busch in the standing?
11. And he's the lowest.
Okay. Okay. So you're going to go with Larson boy.
Grand
Larson. Grand Larson. So that's
listen
what makes me
to
mad.
You
that's
guys.
Exactly
like,
the reason why I did not pick first. I did not pick first because I wanted to test the waters to see who would use Larson, because I knew that my point was right. Hendrick Motorsports is the strongest organization at this point in time.
Nope.
But I digress.
Larson?
No point in even arguing about it. We could spend a whole another freaking hour arguing about it. You made your pick. I allowed
CJ,
it.
CJ, give us
Ms.
another
Lee.
Hour. Miss Lee says Larson.
Yeah.
All right. Give
yep.
us another 15 minutes.
Yep.
I'm gonna go. I didn't even do my pick yet.
Yep.
So I'm gonna go with last week's winner, Martin Truex Jr. because he is going to be the Martin Truex of old. And
Rich.
I think that I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that Bubba leads two laps under caution and Rex on the third caution lap. In all seriousness, I am going with MTJ for the win this weekend.
T-Rex.
Wow. He's got a hell of a record.
What's
there.
Won by AC/DC? Big balls? Yeah, I got him.
All right, so that leaves me to pick my cup guy. And you know what? Since I, you know, everybody forgets the success that Denny Hamlin has had at Richmond. And, you know, it is his home track. I know that he's going to come out and he's going to compete. But he's going to have a hard time getting around my boy because it's short track racing. And that's going to be Joey Logano. So kiss
you
my
know,
ass,
my
Joey Logano for the win.
That was my second pick.
No. I'm picking Logano.
Yes.
To whoop Larson. To whoop Hamlin.
I'm a pick.
Whoop Keselowski. Yeah. Yeah. My guy. Joey Logano.
All right. Joey Logano. Very interesting, but very formidable. But I'll be definitely interested to see how this turns out on Sunday afternoon. I might have to – I don't have any gigs this weekend, so I'm going to sit my ass in front of the TV, and I'm going to watch them go round and round. And, Taz, I have got to know, my friend, your list of nicknames for these drivers. We've heard them throughout the show, but I think now it's time for you to unleash the beast that is known as the list.
So, here's my list. If anyone has any suggestions for any drivers I have not named in this list, because I don't have nicknames for everyone yet. But for those who have suggestions for nicknames, for those I don't mention, feel free to leave them in any comment, message, inbox, wherever you feel like. And I'll consider put into consideration if it's good, I'll use it. If it's not good, I'll think about it and just use it till I figure out a good one that fits. So we're going to go in number order. With the 00 for StartCom, we have Quinn Hoof. Horse Hoof. Then you have the Chip Ganassi one car of Bushy Bushy Bastard. Then the Penske number two car, you have Darb. And did y'all know that you have a Rhinestone Cowboy in the RCR number three machine? In Stuart Haas Racing number four, you have Happy Harvick. Then you heard this one earlier, my pick to win this week, along with Miss Lee, in the number five for Hendrick. It's la 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 Larson. Big Boy Newman drives the 6 Roush Fenway Ford. I do not have one for Corey LaJoie or Tyler Reddick or Chase Elliott. For the 10 Stuart Haas Ford, you have the AA battery. The 11 Joe Gibbs car is Denny Hamster. In the 14 Stuart Haas, you have Brisket Boy. Then the 18 Joe Gibbs Toyota is Bushy Bushy Bitch. In the 19 Toyota for Joe Gibbs, it's T-Rex. In the Joe Gibbs 20 Toyota, you have Ding Dong Bell. The 21 Wood Brothers machine is Dibby. In the Penske 22 is Giggles Logano. And you have Hubba Bubba in the 2311 23 car. And you have Free Willy in the 24. I do not have one for McDowell. Let's see. I do not have one for Ryan Preece either in the 37. You have Pasta Boy in the 38. You have Custard Sauce in the 41. You have the Melon Farmer, Melon Man, in 42. You have Eric Thumbman Jones in the 43. Then you have Recky Spinhouse in the 47. Then you have Showman Bowman in the 48. I have nothing for the Rick Ware Racing people other than stay in the back. You're holding up the caboose very well. Then you have the Spire 77, which that's Justin Haley. He can do Justin Haley things. Then my last one is the 99 of Mr. Daniel Suarez, or as I call him, Danny Suarez.
Danny Suarez.
Suarez?
That's right.
Suarez.
It's about as good as Fritzy's mock names on Dan Patrick. I tell you what, that's some of them are pretty interesting. Corey LaJoie, of course, the face. He would have to be the face. And Danny Boy. Danny Boy Suarez. I don't know. He's my amigo, man. I love Daniel Suarez, and I am excited about what he's going to be able to, the type of fan base that he's going to bring. I think things are really hitting over there at Trackhouse, and I'll be able to tell y'all that. I told you so pretty soon about that number 99 team. Some of those are really funny. Some of those of them may need a little work. All in all, very creative there, Taz. Very creative. Which one is your favorite? The brisket? That's pretty good. I like that.
Say, which one's y'all's favorite? Because I don't know which one I have for my favorite. I really don't.
I like Bitch. Bushy
yeah.
bitch.
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry, Mr. TJ.
Here for a good time, Kyle Busch. I mean, is that not who Kyle? He's got to go from Candyman to Busch Beer, right? I mean, that's going to be the way he ends his career, right? Busch Beer is going to go to Kyle Busch. I mean, it's a match made in heaven. It's a sponsorship that that'll keep on giving. Busch and Busch. They loved it so much they named a beer after him. Or they loved it.
Really
they loved Busch so much they named a race car driver after him. I mean, it's got to be something there. It's got to be. We're predicting the future right here. But we don't have very much time to predict any future. We only got about 5 minutes left on the clock, and I thought we were going to get out of here a little bit early here tonight. But what do you got there, Craig?
I gotta reiterate what Miss Lee just said. She said Suarez got some big balls for that guy. Kaz just said he got his name from the Disney Cars movie he voiced for. That's interesting. I hope that Daniel Suarez is not writing checks his ass can't cash.
Sorry to interrupt quick, Craig. I forgot Brian Blaney. I don't know how I forgot him. He's Barney. Brian Barney.
Barney. Interesting. Well, I don't know about you guys, but it's been a hell of a night. And I want to encourage everybody to get out to Fonda this weekend that lives up this way. Apparently, I am going to be there. I'll probably be there till intermission, and then I've got to go to bed because I'm old. No, I'll stay as long as I can. But since Kaz said I was going to be there, I guess I got to show up. Besides, I want to go see that Great Clip sponsorship on the Terrell Racing machine. That's pretty cool. And I'm just looking forward to a great weekend of opening weekend of racing here at the Track of Champions. And we're going to see how it all pans out. And I'm still looking for somebody who's willing to let me drive their four-cylinder later in the season, later in the year. If somebody's willing to do that, well, then we'll get them on the show, and we'll talk to them. Maybe the Hollenbecks, because, you know, we know they're going to win the championship again this year. And if they got a huge point lead, maybe they'll let me in on it. Hell, maybe I'll put together a four-cylinder car for 2022, and I can run for a trophy. But that's all I got from Glove City, New York, Gloversville. Kaz, what do you got over in? Well, you're in Gloversville now, too.
Well, just want to say thank you all for listening. We had a blast. We had our arguments. We had some laughs. We went over some great stuff. Well, this has been Race Chat Live. With the one through the 110 Nation Sports Network, make sure you go to the website, the110nationsports.com. Make sure you check us out on Facebook at the 110 Nation Sports and Race Chat Live on Facebook. And we'll see you next week. Same time, same place. You know it. This has been Race Chat Live. Once again on Blog Talk Radio. We are the caution flag of radio, Chris Creighton, the DJ music man of Craig Moore, and the Tasmanian Devil Flaggers, Taz Taylor. Have a good night, folks. We'll see you next time, next week, same place, you know it all.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm. Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born. Straightening the curve, planting the hill. Someday the mountain might get 'em, but the law never will.
making their way. Just a good old boy. Wouldn't change if they could. Fighting the system like a two modern day Robin Hood.
All right.